Hello. Welcome to...
Hello.
That sounded robotic.
Hello and welcome...
Okay. For real. Hello. Welcome to the Cast and Blast Florida Outdoor Podcast. I can't get the name right to save my life.
Well, I haven't been paying attention.
Welcome to Cast and Blast Florida, the outdoor podcast. I'm Nathan Henderson.
And I'm Travis Thompson.
And today we're going to be talking about things fishermen love.
First up, though, we wanted to introduce ourselves. Nathan Henderson here. It's at nhenderson77 on social media. Nate and I have been friends for most of our lives. Actually, I'm a little bit older, so I've known Nate since he was born. He is our resident archery genius. But we've been fishing and hunting together all of our lives. I'm at Travis Thompson on social media, and I'm a full-time fishing and waterfowl guide. I also do a lot of freelance writing and some publications you may have seen. You can read more about both of us on our website, castandblastfl.com. Before we get into the meat of this week's show, we do want to ask you guys if you could do us a favor. One of the ways that iTunes rates podcasts is by people leaving reviews or subscribing. So if you could do one thing for us this week, that is subscribe to our podcast or leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. It'll help other people find our show. It'll help us with our sponsors. It'll help us in 19 different kinds of ways.
Here at Cast and Blast Florida, we like to take a look at the lighter side of the outdoors, hunting and fishing, and throwing in some tips and tactics along the way.
What you won't hear are weekly fishing reports. You're going to hear a lot of fun, a lot of laughter, and hopefully walk away with something at the end that you're like, wow, that was really good. All right, with that, we're going to jump into our first segment, Things Fishermen Love. Nate, what's on your list?
All right, the first thing I got on my list is overpriced technical clothing.
Oh, that's one of my favorites, when people are spending $75 for blood-resistant, air-conditioned, polka-dotted fishing clothes, maybe in flannel.
Guaranteed to help you catch more fish.
But they don't.
They don't.
One of my favorite things is when clients show up to the dock and they all match.
Oh, yes.
However, as I'm saying these words, true or false, your family pictures at one time had matching
Absolutely.
Columbia shirts.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were orange and we were on a beach, actually.
Okay, so it wasn't on the boat.
No. But what happened to just t-shirts and gym shorts? Like, you can catch fish in that.
No, you cannot.
No.
That's a myth.
You got to have Columbia.
Columbia, if you're listening... We are open to any of those $75 shirts or Bell's coupons, either or.
All right, Trav, what do you got?
One of the things I've got that fishermen absolutely love is Facebook groups.
Oh, yeah.
They love Facebook groups.
They love to argue on Facebook groups.
Oh, I'm getting there. But I've in so many fishing Facebook groups. First off, Facebook, hit me up. Why can people add me to a group without my permission? Like, I just get added to like 19 groups a day. I've listed some of my groups. There's geographic groups. Shout out to Boca Coast. Love Boca Coast. However, there's Tampa Bay Fishing Club. There's Merritt Island Fishing Club. There's the Miami Snook Anglers. There's this, that, and the other. There's the brand lover groups.
Yeah. Yep.
You see Sims or Sitka Gear or whatever.
Yep.
I'm definitely a member of the Snook Club. A lot of heated debate takes place
Very
there.
Much so. Every comment thread is like, you suck at fishing, I'm the greatest at fishing. Or you suck at holding a snook, I'm the greatest at holding a snook. That's most of them.
There are fly fishing groups, I think. I can't tell if they're fly fishing groups or like a vegan convention.
Catch and release only.
Yes.
Yeah.
Catch and release only. Everyone's wearing skinny jeans, flannel shirts, Yeti hats, and has a beard.
Yeah.
And they all look exactly the same.
And smoking a pipe. They usually smoke a pipe.
Love pipes.
Yep. Big pipes.
The new thing is raffle groups. Have you seen these?
I have not seen
these. Okay. So I get added to some raffle groups in the last week. I'm in a couple for waterfowl. I'm in one for fishing. And you somehow, they post an item, and then you buy spots, and then somebody videos somebody guessing the spot number, and you may win like a hummingbird fish finder or a Yeti cooler or something. And I think it's gambling. Not positive, but I feel like it's gambling.
Could be.
But I'm in a lot of those groups now. So what is your favorite social media group?
Oh, probably Salt Strong or the Snook Club. Those are my two that I mostly look at.
All right, we're supposed to be taking turns here.
Right.
But because my second thing, Fishermen Love, is so tightly bound to this, I'm just going to roll into it. And that is the what's the best debate.
Oh, yeah.
So social media lends itself to this little world that people live in. And every day it's what's the best cast net? What's the best fishing reel? And then 642 comments later, we're all still talking about, somebody goes out there and comments as though no one has thought Shimano makes a good fishing reel.
Right.
So they go drop that in. What's the best pliers? What's the best boat? What's the best trolling motor? All right. What do you see out there as far as the debates on social media? The what's the best debates on social media go?
Boat motors.
Oh, Suzuki everybody versus Yamaha.
Oh, Mercury. You know, there. I mean, everybody has their own opinion, and they think it's the greatest that's ever, the greatest opinions ever had.
If you look at that thread, there's 65 Yamaha comments, there's 65 Mercury comments, there's 40 Suzuki comments, and there's a 62-year-old man that's got a Johnson E-Tech from 1963. That says you should get this motor.
Runs like a top.
Yeah, he's. You can see him waving his cane at the screen. As he's like yelling at the people.
Exactly. Yeah. And those were great motors 40 years ago.
Well, his is still great. It's got 22 hours on it.
Yeah. Exactly.
What else you got that fishermen love?
All right, my next one is flatbill caps.
Oh my God.
And it's debatable that I have a flatbill cap on as we speak. I would say no, because it is actually bent. But it's not bent to, like, redneck style bent.
Hold on. Before we continue, can one of you get a picture up? We've got some producers in here. Can one of you get a picture of the cap? This is going up on social media. Is Nathan's cap flat-billed or not? To me, if he had on some baggy jeans with holes in them and, like, a DC Shoe Company shirt, he could head to the skate park.
See?
That's where we're at with this hat.
See? I disagree. Because I've seen flat-bill hats, and they literally are straight across, or they're even angled up.
Yeah.
Some of them
you look like
up.
Daffy Duck.
Okay. All right.
Not you. No, not you, but like the people wearing that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Especially the ones that are flipped up. It's like, you taking this, you know, duck lip thing to a whole new level or something?
When I was in Little League, we would spend like days getting our hat bent just correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Low slung, like, this is something I take very seriously. I don't understand why we've got flat-billed hats, even in the conversation for saltwater fishing.
No, I mean, I agree. But think about it this way. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the straight flat-bill hats. But if it's too bent, it doesn't do much for you sun protection-wise. If it's too bent and it's like coming almost in a full circle, like, you know, some old camo Dale Earnhardt hat, right? Coming almost in a full circle. It does nothing for you as far as your sun protection.
First off, scary how accurate you were with the camo Dale Earnhardt
hat. Thank you.
It's Jeff Gordon.
Okay.
But I will say this. I don't want anybody to change the hats. We got other stuff we should be working on, folks. Clothing manufacturers for saltwater fishermen of America, can you send money to cancer research? Stop putting it into flat-billed hats. We're done with that.
I don't disagree.
We'll let the people decide if you disagree
or
not.
All right. Sounds good. What else you got?
Okay. This is a big one for me personally. Like, if this was church, you'd hear organ pipe music start to play in the background.
All right.
Because I would just like to say, I'm over fishermen and their love affair with Kenny Chesney. I hate Kenny Chesney. When Kenny Chesney, like, if you have your iPhone out and Kenny Chesney starts playing and you're on my boat, I'm throwing your iPhone in. Like, we're done. The trip is over. I'm taking you back to the dock. It's officially ended. Kenny Chesney is everything that is wrong with country music. And he's, more importantly, he's everything that's wrong with boat music. There's no place for Kenny Chesney on a boat.
I do agree with you just to an extent.
Okay.
But you got to admit, I know you think he's terrible. But his beachy stuff isn't that bad. I mean, it's great for the beach setting.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're listening to it in the car...
Here we go.
Then it's terrible.
Here we go.
If you're on a boat with, like, a beer in your hand or something...
Here we go. We're putting people on a shelf right now, okay? What are we going to listen to on the boat? Bob Marley? Absolutely. That's a classic. Jimmy Buffett? No-brainer. Alan Jackson? Zach Brown? There's no room for Kenny Chesney on this shelf. In fact, there's no room for Kenny Chesney on the bottom shelf. He just needs to not even be in the room. Let me just say this. College football's coming up, right?
Right.
College Game Day is going to be out there at different campuses. They're making picks.
Yep.
In the last 5 years, Kenny Chesney has picked for the following teams, as though he were an alumni or somehow affiliated with the university. Tennessee, okay. Texas, Alabama, Florida, and South Carolina. How can you root for somebody that is like so... I don't even know what the word is.
That's four too many teams.
Correct.
Yep.
And they're all in the same conference.
Yep.
Maybe he's an SEC only guy.
Well, Texas isn't. Texas is not SEC, but close enough.
Okay. People of America, listen to me closely. Please let's stop with Kenny Chesney. I'm begging you. That's all I've got.
You're pretty passionate about this. I'm going to let you have it.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
I'm going to let you have it. All right. So my next thing is lying about spots.
Lying about spots.
Lying about where you caught fish.
Okay. Have you ever done this? Because I've never lied about a spot in my life.
Bull crap. Yes, you have.
Have I lied to you?
Not me, probably not. But
not that you know of.
Right. Not that I know of.
But let me say this. Okay. I do know that I had a spot at one point that is now referred to as the Henderson Hole.
I mean, we catch the most fish out of that hole.
That's true. That's true. Had I been less forthcoming with the truth, perhaps that would no longer be called the Henderson Hole. Perhaps it would just be called, you know...
The Thompson Hole?
The Thompson Hole, or just... I'm not going to say the name on the show, because then everyone would know where it was.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. No, that's... See, we're doing it right now.
We're lying?
We are...
Are we just withholding?
Hiding the truth, withholding information. That's probably the better way to say it. Fishermen love to withhold information. They'll give you a little something just to whet your appetite, but they won't give you the full detail.
I love when clients get on the boat, the first question they ask me is, where are we going fishing? Dude, you just got off an airplane from Michigan. If I tell you where we're going fishing, you're not going to have a freaking clue what I just told you. My standard answer is in the water.
Right. Well, I think that's what a lot of people, like, oh, where'd you catch all those fish? In the water.
In the mouth.
Yeah, or in the mouth. All right, so what's your next one?
My next one is paddle fishing. Like paddle board. Or yes. Kayak.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is veganism for fishing. You know how when you meet a vegan or a CrossFitter, like you're gonna know because they're gonna tell you their t-shirt is gonna say I'm a CrossFitting vegan, and they're gonna tell you in the first conversation, hey, I'm Travis, I'm a CrossFitter and I'm a vegan.
That's true. That's true.
So this is a paddleboarder or kayaker. Like you're just gonna know, like they're holding a paddle standing talking to you at church.
Yeah.
There's no going. We've gone full circle on this. I have a friend who is a serious kayak fisherman.
Right.
She has pedals in her kayak to like move it around.
So what do you need a paddle for?
Thank you. The other day, I'm looking at these stand-up paddle boards on the internet because I do want one kind of, but I don't want to be that guy.
I got you.
I just want to dabble.
You. They're fun.
They have a motor for a stand-up paddle board now. Like you can get a motorized version of it.
You can also put one of those micro power poles.
Yes.
Probably on one of those things. And anchor you down wherever you want.
I'm fine with, we want to do some paddle sports and I want to go out in the little pond or the bay after work. Just let's not tell everyone about it all the time.
Right.
Like let's maybe talk about some other things.
Yeah.
There's the world is happening around us.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some stuff that isn't paddle sport related.
Yeah. Well, and for me personally, kayak fishing is difficult.
Kayak fishing is the worst.
It's so hard.
It's 1,000 freaking degrees outside. And it's like the surface of the sun.
And you're working hard to get to your spot. The time you get to your spot, you're so worn out you can't even fish anymore.
I have a 225 motor on my boat. It goes fast. I don't have to do any work.
That's right.
Other than turn a key.
That's right.
Why we're paddling around in this century, in this decade, is beyond me.
Yeah.
If you want to exercise, go to the gym.
I think technology has surpassed paddling to fish.
Agreed. What do you got?
All right, my next one is talking about boats. I love to talk about boats.
Ditto.
I love to point out what boat that is that just went by. Down to the electronics on the console.
When was the last time? How old are you?
I'm 28.
Nate's 28. When was the last time you incorrectly identified a boat at more than 100 yards? Has it ever happened?
I was probably, before I could speak correctly.
And it was probably some off-brand that you then never missed again, like a Permit Flatboat or a Grand Slam. Or
yeah, something. Yeah.
Like something you don't see every day.
Yeah. A Pathfinder pulls around the corner immediately. I know it's a Pathfinder.
You could be, when we're beach fishing for tarpon, if the boat is visible, you can tell what kind of.
Absolutely.
Brand, year, make, model, outboard.
Yep. How many power poles he's got?
That's the first thing you notice is how many power poles he got. And if he doesn't have two, we don't look at him anymore.
Yeah.
Because
we don't want to be friends with
him. He's less of a guy.
That's right.
I have one later. I was going to do it later in the show, but one of my favorite things similar to that is boat shopping.
Oh, yeah.
I have two boats. However, my wife would attest to the fact that there's probably a tab on my browser open right now with Craigslist and a boat search
going. I look at boats three times a week. At least three times a week for like an hour.
Yeah, okay. That's more reasonable.
Yeah.
I look at it for probably 3 hours a day.
Well,
every day.
You know.
But I have a little more spare time than you probably.
That's true.
All right. So I'm going to go back to the idea behind the paddle boarding. Something that fishermen love, and I don't know why. Fly fishing. Okay? We're going to try to catch a tarpon. Which is like, you know, not super easy on the best day of the year.
Sure.
However, what we're going to do is we're going to tie some feathers to a hook and make it, you know, the size of a quarter and try to get this 200-pound fish to bite it.
Yeah.
And there's no weight to it. We're going to spend all day casting just in case one comes rolling along. Why do fishermen like to make things so much harder?
I don't know. Maybe they're giving the fish a better chance, but fish are going to win every day anyway. So
when you hook a tarpon, it starts doing somersaults and tail walks, and it swims a bajillion miles an hour in the opposite direction, flipping and jumping, and they don't need help. Tarpon do not need help. I mean, they need help being alive and things, but they don't need help as far as fishing and catching them goes.
So I agree.
So let's just put an end to this. There's a lot of shenanigans going on around fly fishing. I don't want to be forced to fly fish.
No.
I don't feel looked down upon because I'm not fly fishing.
Right.
I want to cut up a mullet. I want to anchor up on a point. And I want to sit there with a cold beverage in my Yeti. And I want to wait till the reel starts singing.
That's right.
And then I'm going to catch my fish.
Yes.
We don't need all this work and this labor and stuff. It's fishing.
It is fishing.
What do you got?
Fishermen love to guess the fish before it lands.
It's a science.
I mean, you watch the rod tips, like, oh, that kind of fighting like a snook. No, I think it's fighting like a redfish. No, I think it's a jack. It's a catfish.
Yeah. Well, I don't catch catfish as a trained professional like that I am.
Lies.
And I've never caught a jack. All my clients ever catch are African pompano.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which are a very high-level fish.
High-level.
We get them in great schools in
Shore. Good eating.
Yeah. I can't show you pictures of those specifically. They look similar to jacks, but
Pretty similar.
I see why people would confuse them.
Pretty similar.
But yeah, no. Calling the fish as soon as it hits the bait, that's...
Oh, yeah. Everybody in the boat's calling it.
And it's an art. It's a witchcraft.
Sure it is.
People...
You had to have caught a lot of fish in your life to guess it. And so people take pride in that.
All right. You got... How many more you got?
I got one.
All right. I got one more, and then I'll let you have the last one. Here we go. This is a thing that fishermen love. I mean, this should probably be at the top of the list, is bikini girls holding fish.
That is true.
Now, I'm not going to get into nature here and explain why fishermen love that. I am going to say there's a lot of skepticism from me when I see a girl out there and her hair looks like she just came from the salon.
Absolutely.
And she's wearing like this name brand bikini and she's holding this monster redfish and it's not hot or sweaty or anything. And she's like got no clothes on her body except
a tiny bikini
and a buff.
And a buff.
For skin protection.
That's right.
It's the most ridiculous thing.
It is. It is absolutely ridiculous.
There's
no way she caught that fish.
There's no way she caught that fish. There's no way that's the outfit she chose to go fishing.
Right. Right. Like, she didn't start the day off.
Let's be honest.
Like that.
The reason she has 49 sponsors and you don't is because of the way you both look in bikinis.
This is true. This is absolutely true.
All right. What do you got?
All right. My last one is backseat fishing.
Backseat fishing.
Yeah. So someone hooks up on the boat and everybody starts shouting orders. Reel, keep your rod tip up. Don't let him get in the trolling motor. I mean, it happens on my boat.
I'm not familiar with this phenomenon. Okay. I've only been fishing with you a few hundred times. I've never
I didn't know told I was anyone podcasting where they with were. The perfect fisherman.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure.
About I mean, that. I may have occasionally coached or counseled an angler in the correct way to land a fish.
I can vividly remember being coached at.
Loudly,
as you put it.
Loudly. I may have been coaching loudly, from one end of the boat.
When I was, you know, younger and less experienced.
And now we get to coach our families.
That's right.
It's just part of the grow. It's growing up.
Yeah, that's right. So those are the things that we think fishermen love the most. Now, if you have any questions or anything about any of the products we named, we'll have links to those in the show notes at castandblastfl.com.
In that same vein, if you feel like we missed something, make sure to let us know on social media or on our website. We have a tab called Call the Show. You're able to go out there on your computer, click that button, leave us a voicemail. You can be angry. You can be happy. You can be sad. You can be my long lost cousin. We'll listen through those. The best ones will make the show. So make sure to interact with us. Let us know your thoughts. Stay with us. Coming up is our next segment, Keep and Release, where we tell you about what products or ideas or concepts or anything else are hot to us this week and what we're ready to throw back over the side.
So, Travis, what are you releasing this week?
The thing I'm releasing this week, gosh, I'm really hot on social media. We're going to do a social media episode at some point.
Yeah, we are.
The thing I'm releasing this week is fish ID posts.
Oh, man, every day.
Please stop with the fish ID posts on Facebook. This is the way this goes, okay? For those of you unfamiliar with this phenomenon, this is the way this goes. Someone catches a 7-inch mangrove snapper and they don't know what it is. Or maybe they do know what it is and they're a smartass. However, they catch a 7-inch mangrove snapper and they post a picture and say, fish ID, please. The first commenter usually says, oh, that's a mangrove snapper. That's where it should end.
And then 130 comments later,
someone's
still going,
oh, it's a Warsaw grouper. Oh, it's a mullet. Oh, that looks like a squirrel. It never ends. And if you comment anywhere in there trying to be helpful, suddenly you're subscribed to this comment thread from hell. And it's just
notifications for days.
We've got to stop. We're better than this. As a society, we are better than this. When someone posts a fish ID, one comment. Maybe two if maybe. Someone's wrong.
Yep, maybe.
Let's not be wrong, and let's just get it right from the beginning and call it a mangrove snapper, because that's probably what it is. Also, people posting this, buy a book. There are books and websites dedicated to this. Google is your friend. So I'll be happy to Google these things for you if you just message me, keep them off the internet. Then I just have one thread. I don't have to keep seeing it over and over. All right? Hit me up at NathanHenderson.com.
No. Please don't.
What are you turning loose this week? What are you releasing? All
right. I'm turning loose some really stupid fishing gear. And I've got a website here that lists some of these. This is from Wide Open Spaces.
Okay.
The link will be in the show notes. But there is a company called Palatrax Stones that literally, for the environmentally conscious angler, you can order a stone with a swivel embedded into one end of it. So instead of a lead weight, you actually have a rock with a swivel.
So you're putting a rock back into the environment.
Back into the environment. That's right.
You're turning this loose. Yes. You don't love this idea?
I don't love this idea.
I love this idea.
Because you can pick up a rock anywhere and use it.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. Here's my question.
Why do you have to pay for it?
How long before someone comes along and says, well, you're transferring rocks from the Yellowstone River to the Central Florida, Southwest Florida, Charlotte Harbor National Estuary, and now we've got, you know,
we've got an invasive species of algae.
There's some kind of lichen that grows on that rock, and next thing you know, we're going to have water buffalo coming through there grazing on it.
It could happen. This is why I'm releasing this product.
Okay. I'm behind you on that. Conservation first,
right? That's right. That's exactly right.
Save the rocks. Speaking of conservation, here's my keep item this week. Snook conservation.
I'm about that.
Yep. This past week, we opened snook season. And I'm sure that the orders were loaded with people going out there ready to put a slot fish into their ice chest. We've got to be better about that. We're okay with keeping some snook. However, as a guy that's out on the water a lot, these fish are getting hammered. The resource cannot sustain everybody going out every day, catching their limit. We've just got to be smarter about it.
Right.
This year, for the first time on my charters, we're not keeping snook. We're not going to do any keeper snook on my charters this snook season.
Sure.
I just think it's something that's marginalized a little bit with where we are. We talked a little bit about social media earlier. Everyone wants to post their big fish. Everyone wants to post their ice chest, their Yeti full of snook fillets and everything else.
Right.
I just think it's something we need to all really look at and take a serious note about and probably pay better attention to it going forward. Because the fishery can't sustain it. If we get another really bad winter, Tampa Bay is already hurting in their snook fishery some. There's some spots in the upper bay that are just devoid of snook.
Yep.
So we just, us as fishermen, is a good opportunity for us to right. make a better place for us and our kids.
Right.
What are you keeping this week?
So my keep this week is the Cajun Army. That's what they're calling
it. The Cajun Army.
On social media. As many of you know, there's been a major hurricane that hit South Texas, and the flooding there has been catastrophic. It's the whole place is basically under 10 feet of water. So they're, all these people from the south and east and all over the country really are loading up the boats they have and headed down to Texas to help rescue people and help get people out of their houses and out of their cars that have been stranded for days. And so it's just a really great showing of how American can pull together when something major like this happens.
We've got some friends actually, like Nate Weissman and some of those guys, Landon Mack, some of the guys from Trick My Skiff. They actually left last Wednesday and are headed up there yep. pulling boats and supplies. And they so it's good huge, to see. Yeah.
Huge trailer full of stuff taken out there.
We'll actually put a link to their GoFundMe on our show notes this week. So if you guys want to give to that, I know the money will go to relief efforts
yes.
in Houston or South Texas, Rockport, one yep. of those areas.
So Cajun Army.
Thumbs up on the Cajun Army.
Go get them.
One of the things we want to do here every week at the end of the show is we're going to do a lightning round where we're going to have my wife or some co-host come on and ask some random questions. It'll help you get to know us. We're going to have fun with it. If we have guests on, we'll be able to ask them some of these ridiculous questions. So with that, Emily, go ahead and take it away.
Okay, thanks, Travis. Here we go. Lightning round, question one. What is the last movie you watched, Travis?
In the theater?
Doesn't matter. Theater, Netflix. Since you just realized Netflix can do movies.
I did just learn Netflix can do movies like in the last 6 months or so. The last movie I watched was probably A Few Good Men, which is classic, and you can throw no shade at me for that. Like, that's a strong choice.
That is a strong choice.
And I know that because I watch it about once a week. It's one of three movies I own.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Wait, what are the other movies you watch about once a week? 310 to Yuma.
310 to Yuma is always on the list.
That's a great one.
Ocean's 11 or 13. Ocean's 12.
I pick 11 over that one.
Ocean's 12 comes in every once in a while, but Ocean's 11 and 13 are pretty regular. That's it. That's the whole list.
Okay, Nate. Last movie you watched?
I saw Dunkirk in IMAX theater. It was incredible. It was so good. One of the greatest war movies ever made.
I heard it's really good. I heard there's not a lot of dialogue in it.
No, not a lot of dialogue, but the way the story is told, it really, really made for a really enjoyable experience.
Must see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Must see in the theaters.
In the theaters, yeah. If you're going to see it in the theaters, I think you'll get visually and with the audio, the best experience.
Okay.
Travis, what is one food you would not want to give up?
Oh, I'm going to go bacon because that's a no-brainer. I mean, part of me wants to say chocolate, but I think I could deal without chocolate, but not without bacon.
Yeah, solid. That's solid.
There's no, that's the right answer, right?
Yeah,
that's a
sure.
That's a binary question. There's only one right answer to it. It's bacon.
Okay.
Nate?
The other right answer is steak. I wouldn't give up steak for about anything in the world.
Okay. I mean, it's fair.
Come on, dude.
But it's not bacon.
Well, bacon's not steak, though. How about bacon wrap steak?
Yeah, that's happening this week.
Oh, nice.
If you could do one type of outdoor activity for the rest of your life, duck hunting or snook fishing? Travis.
Can I do it year round? Like, there's no rules in this rest of my life that you've assigned.
This is a purely hypothetical situation.
Okay, then in that hypothetical situation, it's duck hunting. I would duck hunt every day the rest of my life. And you know this, having been married to me, that that's a load of fun. Me getting up every morning at 3 a.m. and...
Oh, it's my favorite part of our marriage.
I knew that you loved it.
You getting up every morning at 3 a.m., leaving me with the dogs, leaving the front door open because you're so excited to go. Yeah. Leaving the garage door also open.
I feel the love that you have for that season right now as you're speaking with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of love.
It's Nate, please speak and say something.
Nate, same question.
I would have to agree with you.
Duck hunting.
There's just nothing like the adrenaline of cupped wings coming into a spread.
Nate, let me ask you this. If you could only choose one person in the world to guide you on that duck hunt, who would it be?
I feel a shameless plug coming.
Do you?
Yeah.
Would it be me?
It would probably be you.
That's what I would pick, but I'm partial to me.
Yeah, on sure that. You are. Of course you are.
Last question. Hamburger or hot dogs? Ooh. Travis.
Oh, man.
This is a tough one.
Go ahead.
No, you go. I feel like you should go first.
Depends on where I'm at, right?
Okay.
So if I'm at a baseball game.
You're going hot dog, obviously.
I'm going hot dog 100% of the time. Mustard and onions. That's it. Hot dog. Maybe relish. That's maybe.
But what if you walk into Five Guys or Andy's Igloo or someplace like that? Where are you going?
I'm going hamburger on both of those places.
Cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be serious. There is no such thing as a hamburger.
Yes.
That's communist. But I think I would have to go. I'm going to go hamburger, cheeseburger here. Let me just caveat it by saying, if there's a corn dog on the menu, that's happening.
That trumps all.
And I don't know that that fits into the hot dog arena. However, it's a hot dog. It's just dipped in cornmeal and deep fried with sweet, good awesomeness.
There's also the debate that a hot dog is actually a sandwich.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a hot dog between bread.
Yeah. A hot dog is a hot dog.
Well, I would just order it as a hot dog sandwich then. I mean, the menu can call it whatever it wants. I'm going to eat it.
Oh, yeah.
And I would not kick either one off my plate.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we're going to dive into our favorite fishing TV shows, and we're going to induct one of those TV shows into the Hall of Fame.
At least one.
At least one.
Thank y'all for listening to the first episode of the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Make sure you follow us on social media @CastAndBlastFL. Y'all have a good week.